The man was dead for 4 days until Jesus came into town. It's the message I have for you today. Ladies and gentlemen, as we continue in this verse-by-verse study in the Gospel of John, in this chapter we're going to learn about a very well-known miracle, a great miracle in the Bible, and that would be the raising of a man named Lazarus from the dead. So let's dig in, verse 1. Now a certain man was sick named Lazarus of Bethany, the town of Mary and her sister Martha. It was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair, whose brother Lazarus was sick. Therefore his sisters sent unto him, saying, Lord, behold, he whom thou lovest is sick. When Jesus heard that, he said, This sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. Now, this particular family, Mary, Martha, Lazarus, Jesus had a pretty close relationship with this family. He spent time there when he was in that area. He loved them all very much. And it makes a point of letting us know right here in the scriptures. It goes on to say, regarding Mary, it says, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment and wiped his feet with her hair. Okay, so that's her brother. And actually, you read about that time when she anointed the Lord in the next chapter. So that's when John chose to bring that story out. So, here's Lazarus, so he's sick, and they sent a messenger to the Lord, and they wanted to let him know he's sick, and obviously he was very sick. So that's what's taken place there. So we see that the Lord says here, after he heard that, he said, this sickness is not unto death, but for the glory of God, that the Son of God might be glorified thereby. So he's sick. Eventually, he will die. You're going to see that. So he says, this sickness is not unto death. Ultimately, he knew what he was going to do already. So let's go to verse 5 now. Now Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. When he had heard, therefore, that he was sick, he abode 2 days still in the same place where he was. Then after that saith he to his disciples, Let us go into Judea again. His disciples say unto him, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? So, when Jesus was informed about the sickness of Lazarus, he didn't just drop everything and take off into Judea. He didn't do that. He waited 2 days before he left for Judea. Now, where was he? He was at Bethabara. If you look at the last chapter before this, in chapter 10, you'll see that the last time we find Jesus, he's where John the Baptist first was baptizing, which would have been Bethabara. So that's where he was. So I think it was about 30 miles away from where they were in Bethany. So he waited 2 days before they took off to leave for Judea. So that's what took place there. And if you notice, the disciples, they questioned Jesus. They said, do you want to go back into Judea again? Where they wanted to stone you? They were very concerned for him, and obviously for themselves too. As I stated in the last chapter, they tried to stone Jesus. They attempted to stone Jesus. And why did they want to do that? Well, Leviticus 24:16, because they thought he was blaspheming by calling himself the Son of God, making himself equal with God. They wanted to kill him. They thought he was guilty of blasphemy. So that was the third time already in that chapter, in the Gospel of John, that we see the Jewish people wanted to put him to death. Very interesting. So they couldn't understand, why do you want to go back? Why do you want to go back to Judea where they sought to stone you? And it's very interesting. So the Lord wanted to go back there, ladies and gentlemen. These were his friends. This is the gospel of the kingdom. Now we realize that the Jewish people who rejected him, they were of a different kingdom. So the Lord is going back there no matter what. And we'll find out in verse 9 to 12 what's up. So it says, Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. But if a man walk in the night, he stumbleth, because there is no light in him. These things said he, and after that he saith unto them, Our friend Lazarus sleepeth, but I go that I may awake him out of sleep. Then said his disciples, Lord, if he sleep, he shall do well. So, as I said, the Lord was determined to go into Judea, clearly a source of great trouble, persecution for the Lord in that place. As we stated before, they wanted to stone him to death. So, here he says, are there not 12 hours in a day? And he talks about the light of this world. He's talking about the sunlight. Now, obviously, when you walk in the sun, you can see where you're going. It's darker at night. You can stumble. But actually, there's a double meaning here, because Jesus Christ is the light of the world. He's the light of the world. So spiritually speaking, he's the light. He's the light that that Martha, Mary, Lazarus, they believed in. And he was going to go there because they were in need. He loved that family. And it didn't matter to him that he was going into what we would call the darkness of Judea, where people, for the most part, the religious Jewish people, they did not desire him. They despised him. So you know that we walk in the light. We can see very, very clearly there. You know, I remember many years ago in the late 70s, driving up to a place in upstate New York. I had to go there like for 3 weeks, and you'd come back home on a weekend, you'd sleep there during a week. But the classes start at 9 a.m., so it was several hours drive, I forget how many hours, 4 or 5 hours, 6 hours to get there. So I would leave really, really early in the morning when it was night out. So I remember I was driving my car, and I'm in the woods all the way upstate. I think the name of the town was Montour Falls or something upstate there. And so you're cutting through these dark areas through the woods. And what happened, my headlights on my car went out. And there were no lampposts. I mean, it was pitch black. I could not see anything. I mean, pitch black going down a single lane highway in the middle of the woods in upstate New York. And it was a tad scary. And I'm saying, what do I do now? So what I did is I hit my you know, the flasher thing that lights up the flash things. And that was what I used to see just a little bit of the road so I could guide my car. So, you know, if you have no light, you're gonna be in trouble. So if you're walking in the middle of somewhere where there's no light, it's dark, you are going to stumble. So the Lord is the light of the world. They needed him. People need the light. We need the light. I need the light. Jesus is the light, as the song goes. So verse 13, it says, Howbeit Jesus spake of his death, speaking of Lazarus, but they thought that he had spoken of taking of rest in sleep. So Jesus said he's sleeping. They naturally thought that he was physically sleeping, but Jesus was basically telling them. Verse 14, then said Jesus unto them plainly, Lazarus is dead, and I am glad for your sakes that it was not there, to the intent ye may believe. Nevertheless, let us go unto him. Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus, unto his fellow disciples, let us go also, that we may die with him. Thomas, he was actually saying, he's thinking the Lord is probably going to get killed. That's right, because he said, are you going back? The disciples said, why are you going back there where they wanted to stone you? So I think basically what Thomas was saying, let's go back here, we'll die with him. So that's very interesting. This was a serious thing, folks. Sometimes we read the scriptures and we pass over certain things like this, but when they attempt to stone a person to death, it was a big deal. And they knew that it was a life or death situation. So now they were going to go back into that same area with that fresh in their mind that they wanted to stone him. So they were thinking of their own lives also. They said, we could be dead too. So let's go back that we may die with him. They basically thought they were going to be martyred. Possibility anyway. So, you know, that saying that the Lord used, you know, that Lazarus is sleeping, we find him using that at another time And in Luke 8, verses 49 to 56, you could look that up for yourself. When the daughter of the person from the ruler of the synagogue's house was sick, and she died. And when the Lord went back to heal her, raise her from the dead, he said, "Weep not, she's not dead, but sleepeth." And you remember all the people there heard him say that, and they laughed him to scorn. But the final thing was that the Lord healed that young lady and brought her back to life. I believe he said, "Young maid, arise." So this shows us the power, the awesome power in the person of Jesus Christ to raise the dead. This was not just another man, ladies and gentlemen. As I've been saying all throughout this gospel, this is deity. This is the divinity of Jesus Christ. This is God in the flesh, the Word that was made flesh. He had the power to raise people from the dead. Oh, yes. So let's go now to verse 17. Then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. Now Bethany was nigh unto Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off, and many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. Then Martha, as soon as she heard that Jesus was coming, went and met him, but Mary sat still in the house. So by the time Jesus arrived in Bethany, here we have Lazarus. He's already dead 4 days. So, you know, one of the commentators tried to figure out, you know, how this worked out, which makes sense. You know, probably when the messengers were sent to Jesus to tell him that Lazarus was sick, Lazarus died probably while they were on the way to tell Jesus. So it was about a day's trip to get to where Jesus was. And then keep in mind that Jesus stayed there for 2 days. So that would add to 3 days. A day for the messengers to get to him, 2 days Jesus stayed there, and then Jesus and the disciples left to go back there, so they traveled for a day. So that would give you 4 days. That seems to be a very reasonable explanation, and I would agree with that. So here they are. They get there, and already he's dead for 4 days. And let's go to verse 21. It said, "Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus saith unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha saith unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day." So Martha's thinking of that last day resurrection, which there will be, by the way, when everybody's going to stand before Almighty God, the resurrection at the last day. But Jesus had other plans. Oh, yes. So Martha knew that the Lord had power to heal. So she said, you know, Lord, if you had been here, I know you would have been able to do something. But she did also say, I know even now, whatever you will ask of God, God will give it thee. So, very, very interesting. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? She saith unto him, Yea, Lord, I believe that thou art the Christ, the Son of God, which should come into the world. And when she had so said, she went her way and called Mary, her sister, secretly, saying, The Master is come and calleth for thee. So, keep in mind that Martha said, you know, I know that he's going to rise in the resurrection at the last day. So Jesus now turned it back to himself. He says, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Now this applies, by the way, to all believers, folks. Jesus Christ, he is the resurrection and the life. That's one of his names. I am the resurrection and the life. And it says, he that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. This is talking about a spiritual resurrection, folks. When you put your faith in him, you pass from death unto life. And that's what he's talking about here. That's exactly what he means. He that believes in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. So, and he goes on to say, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. So that goes for the believer. You're a believer in Jesus Christ. You're alive. You're believing in him. You will never die. Keep that faith in the Lord, ladies and gentlemen. That's what that's talking about. Everlasting life. But as I said before, he has other plans. He plans to raise this man from the dead right then and there. So, and we see that she took off to go get her sister, Mary, and said, the master's here. You know, he's calling for you. So, beautiful thing that Martha did confess her faith in the Lord, that she confessed she knew that he was the Messiah. You know, I believe that thou art the Christ. She says, I believe you are the Messiah, the Son of God, which should come into the world. Keep in mind that the religious Jews did not believe that. You see, two different kingdoms. They refused to believe that he was the Christ or the Messiah, and they refused to believe that he was the Son of God that was sent into the world. They rejected that totally. And that's why we have this big controversy with the many conflicts and the times where the Jewish people, the leaders, they wanted to stone him and wanted to kill him. Because all along they said, you are committing blasphemy. So I hope you're starting to get a picture here, folks, of what this gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. If you don't believe in the Lord, you are a lost soul. Oh, yes, you are. You don't have to be Jewish to be a lost soul. You could be a Muslim, but you don't believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. They don't even believe that God has a son. They believe Jesus is nothing more than a prophet. So you can have another Jesus. You can have a false Jesus. And that false Jesus will get you nowhere. Oh, yes. You must be born again. See, when you're born again, folks, the Spirit of God is inside you. You're born of the Spirit. The Spirit of truth is going to show you these things. When you open up the Word of God, the Spirit of truth is going to take that Word, anoint it to your heart, and you know these things to be true. If that doesn't happen to you, folks, don't put it off. You must be born again. Read John chapter 3 and learn more about that. So, let's go to verse 29, it says, as soon as she heard that, she arose quickly, that's speaking of Mary, and came unto him. Now, Jesus was not yet come into the town, but was in that place where Martha met him. The Jews then, which were with her in the house and comforted her, when they saw Mary, that she rose up hastily and went out, followed her, saying, she goeth unto the grave to weep there. Then when Mary was come where Jesus was and saw him, she fell down at his feet, saying unto him, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. So she said the same thing that her sister Martha said. Lord, if you had been here, he wouldn't have died. So they were very well aware of the power that was exhibited throughout the ministry of Jesus Christ. Mary, we see that she loved Jesus. She fell down at his feet. The Jews that were there, they followed her, and they figured she's just going to the grave to weep. And it was nice, a nice picture. You see, these people loved his family. They came from Jerusalem. They came to help them and comfort them. So it's a nice picture of what has taken place. Verse 33, when Jesus therefore saw her weeping, and the Jews also weeping, which came with her, he groaned in the spirit and was troubled, and said, where have ye laid him? They said unto him, Lord, come and see. Jesus wept. Then said the Jews, behold how he loved him. And the Lord truly did love him. He loved that whole family. If you look at verse 35, only two words. That's the shortest verse in the Bible. If anybody ever asks you to trick question, what's the shortest verse in the Bible? There it is right there. John 11:35, Jesus wept. So verse 37 says, and some of them said, could not this man which opened the eyes of the blind have caused that even this man should not have died? Jesus therefore again groaning in himself cometh to the grave. It was a cave, and a stone lay upon it. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, saith unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. Jesus saith unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. So here we have Jesus right there at the place where the grave where Lazarus is, and he tells Martha, you know, take away the stone, remove that stone. And Martha knew that he was dead for 4 days. She knows what happens to the body. It corrupts and it stinks. And this is what is going on here. And then the Lord says, look, you know, didn't I tell you that if you would only believe, that you would see the glory of God? Hallelujah. So the miracles, folks, when the Lord does a miracle, you're going to see the glory of God. When the Lord's hand is in something, whether it be a small miracle or if it's a big miracle, you know, you say glory to God. It's for the glory of God. You know, the glory of God. He wanted his disciples to see this miracle. That's why he said, I'm glad I wasn't there. He wanted them to see it for the intention that they might believe. He wanted to build up their faith. Hallelujah. That's what he was doing. For the glory of God. Verse 41. Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid. And Jesus lifted up his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people which stand by, I said it, that they may believe that thou hast sent me. And when he had thus had spoken, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead came forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound about with a napkin. Jesus saith unto them, loose him and let him go. So this is powerful. This is powerful. We see the Lord now. He's talking. He lifts up his eyes. He's looking up toward heaven. And now he's talking. He says, Father, I thank thee. I thank you that you heard me. And I know you always hear me. But because of the people which stand by, I said. So what he's saying is, Father, I'm just doing this for the sake of those who are watching me right now. I know you hear me. I know you hear me all the time. But for their sake, he wanted them to know that he was in communion with the Father. Okay? He's not talking to himself. He's not a ventriloquist for the oneness Pentecostals. He's talking to the Father, which is in heaven. Glory to God. And then after he speaks to the Father, he utters those words, Lazarus, come forth. And what happened? Lazarus came forth, ladies and gentlemen. He's walking in his grave clothes. Looks like one of those mummies maybe you see in Halloween parades. Here he comes. His face was still wrapped. And that's why the Lord said, loose him and let him go. They had to unwrap him. Can you imagine this? This is an awesome miracle, folks, a demonstration of the power of God. And the Lord did this so that the disciples would believe on him. He was increasing their faith. And that's why he said, I'm glad I wasn't there. He knew, he already knew what he was going to do. So you got this man, he's dead for 4 days. What a powerful miracle. I mean, you know, suppose you had an Uncle Tony, okay? And he died. Let's say he died at noon on Monday. And next thing you know, they're gonna wake this guy the next couple of days. So he died at noon on Monday. They put him in a funeral parlor on Tuesday and Wednesday. You know the routine. Thursday, they're going to have a funeral about 10 o'clock in the morning. And that's that. So what would happen now? You're related to Tony, and that's all over with, the funeral. And on Friday, you're sitting in the neighborhood diner. And you're enjoying some bacon and eggs, and you look to the right, and you nearly jump out of your skin. You see Uncle Tony walk through the door. What would you say? You'd probably flip out. So this is what happened, folks. A man was dead for 4 days. You know, only the Lord can do something like this, folks. This is the power of Almighty God. A man dead for 4 days gets back up from the dead. This is actually like a future look into the future. This is like a look into the future of that final day, folks. You know, the dead are going to be raised. It's going to happen. So this was a picture of that, a small picture of that, because on that last day, everybody, both good and bad, are going to be raised. It's going to happen. God has the power to do that, ladies and gentlemen. And there's a heaven and there's a hell. Oh, yes, there's a heaven and there's a hell. You know, in fact, we just got something in the mail today from, I think it was the Seventh-day Adventist, and it's saying that hell, nobody's burning in hell. Well, I'm here to tell you today it's a false teaching. I'm here to tell you today, you read Luke chapter 16, and you can read about what's happening to people who are in hell, folks. Oh, yes. Luke 16, I think it's verses 19 to 31. Trust the scriptures, folks. Don't take the word of men. Don't listen to men. You take the word of God. There is an eternal fire, folks. There is a lake of fire. Oh, yes, it is. Don't listen to what men tell you. There's a heaven and there is a hell. No purgatory. So this is why I dig into the Word. I put the scriptures up there for you to see for yourself. This is what penetrates the heart. This is what digs in by the Spirit of the living God. And this is what each and every one of us need. Oh, yes, that is so true. So let's go to verse 45 now. It says, "Then many of the Jews which came to Mary and had seen the things which Jesus did believed on him, but some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done. Then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council and said, 'What do we? For this man doeth many miracles. If we let them thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation.'" So once again, we see this powerful miracle takes place, folks, and many of the Jews believed on him. I mean, you see a man raised from the dead. I mean, can you imagine what it was like when they were standing there watching this whole thing go down? I mean, this was incredible. So many said, you know, they believed on him. They saw this. They said, this is unbelievable. And but look at this in verse 46, it says, "Some of them went their ways to the Pharisees and told them what things Jesus had done." Wow. So then gathered the chief priests and the Pharisees a council. They didn't know what to do. What are we going to do? This man does many miracles. So this is interesting. You know, think of the Reformation, when you had the power of God moving, people are getting saved, people are coming out of the Roman Catholic system, people are getting the scriptures in their own language that they might understand the truth that Rome tried to hide from them. So now you have this tremendous Reformation take place. So what did they do? They called a council. Just like these people, they called a council. What are we going to do? So when the reformers were winning souls to Christ, the Catholic Church comes up with the Council of Trent. They called a council. And basically, it was a response to the Reformation, much like this. That's what religious people do. Unsaved religious people do. And that's exactly what took place here. And look what it says. "If we let him thus alone, all men will believe on him, and the Romans shall come and take away both our place and nation." When it says our place, talking of the temple. So they were concerned. They didn't want to lose that, folks. They believed probably that Jesus was going to set up a temporary kingdom, perhaps, because he claimed to be the Messiah. Think about that. So now they're concerned about their temple and nation being taken away. Go to verse 49. It says, "And one of them named Caiaphas, being the high priest," that's the Jewish high priest, "that same year said unto them, 'Ye know nothing at all, nor consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and that the whole nation perish not. And this spake he not of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for that nation, and not for that nation only, but that also he should gather together in one the children of God that were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together for to put him to death." Powerful, powerful, powerful. So here's the high priest, Caiaphas. And he says, look, it's expedient that one man should die for the people, that the whole nation perish not. So they were committing themselves to take down Jesus. They were going to kill him. There's no question about that. That's what they wanted to do. But then it goes on to say, "And this spake he not of himself." So when he spoke those words, he was actually prophesying, even though he didn't realize what he was saying himself, that Jesus should die for that nation. Obviously, Christ is the atoning blood. He's the atonement for sin, not only for the Jewish people, but for the Gentiles. So actually what this high priest Caiaphas was doing, he was prophesying. The Lord allowed him to say that, even though Caiaphas was intending just to kill him, to take this man down, and that's what was taking place there. And folks, there's no question about it. You know, we've seen throughout this whole Gospel of John that the Jewish religious people were dead set against Jesus Christ. They were at odds with each other. Two different kingdoms in conflict. This was the great controversy. As I said, we looked at three different times already. They wanted to stone him to death. They wanted to take him down. So let's go now to John 11, verse 53. Then from that day forth, they took counsel together for to put him to death. To verse 54, it says, Jesus therefore walked no more openly among the Jews, but went thence into a country near to the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was nigh at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover to purify themselves. So after the high priest Caiaphas, he spoke those words, the plot was on, folks. It was set. They were going to put this plan into action. They were taking counsel to put him to death. So keep in mind who was involved, the Jewish high priest and all the religious leaders. They were counseling together. They wanted to grab him. So let's go to verse 56. It says, then sought they for Jesus and spake among themselves as they stood in the temple. What think ye, that he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he were, he should show it, that they might take him. So, as I said, all throughout the gospel, ladies and gentlemen, we see the conflict, we see the controversy, we see they wanted to stone him to death. They did not want him. They rejected him. They wanted him off planet Earth. Now, anyone who tells you otherwise, they're not interested in the truth. They're not telling you the truth, folks. We find the truth here in the scriptures. So this is what we find here. They wanted to take him down. And I'm going to leave it right there, folks. Very interesting chapter. And this is chapter 11. So basically, just past the half point of this gospel, verse by verse. And it gets very interesting as we get into the second half of the Gospel of John. So let's leave it there. You have a great day and be blessed in the Lord.